reminisce for a spell, or shall I say, back 22 years ago.
All right, Talking with TD. That's gonna be next, but first, we're gonna go to the Nate and TD show. Hey, listen, you heard the song Reminisce. Well, that's what we're gonna do right now. We're gonna allow my guy Nate Washington to reminisce with one of his former quarterbacks. That's right. We're welcoming in Matt Hasselbeck. Matt, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up? Good to be with you guys. What's up, Nate?
Hey, my guy, Matt. What's going on, man? How you been?
I'm great, man. Excited to be with you guys. It's been a long time.
That it definitely has, man. How has that media side of it all been treating you? You see me trying to cross over here, man.
That's no surprise, Nate. You're always good at that. You know, it's good. It's just hard keeping up on everything. You know, when you're the starting quarterback and you're getting ready for a game, there's like an army of people, coaches, staff, everybody helping you prepare. You know, they hand you a notebook on Wednesday morning when you show up to go with your little notes that you have going. And you know, then it's like teamwork the whole time. On TV, on the media side, you're kind of out there on your own. You know, ESPN has a few people that help you. They send you a bunch of emails, a bunch of information. But it's basically me and my NFL Game Pass at my house just trying to figure it all out. So I think I took for granted all the support I had when I was a quarterback in the NFL.
I think I may be watching more film now, Matt, than I did when I played.
Nate, just a joke. I wear those glasses that, you know, if you're staring at a computer screen all day, you know, like it protects the blue light because, I mean, really, that's the deal. I thought I watched a lot of film when I was a player. It's thank goodness for technology because it is tough. But I think my eyes are going bad on me, though.
I definitely agree with that. So let's kick it off with the football, man. As soon as TD told me we had the opportunity to talk to you this weekend, man, one of the very first things that popped in my mind when playing with you was just your approachability. You know, you were always approachable, and I definitely remember 2011 we were playing the Indianapolis Colts, and I just was running the hook all day in the slot. And we got to the play, and I had actually a seam route. And right there in the huddle, we were able to disguise, you know, one of our seams with a pump down the seam, and we scored off that play. So my question to you is, how important is it to be able to communicate with your receivers? Because I didn't always have that. But how important is it to be able to communicate with your receivers and make in-game adjustments just as players?
Yeah, well, as a quarterback, if I could just give one word to every receiver out there, just be decisive. I mean, I just remember my dad played in the NFL, and I just remember going to practices, and I'd hear a guy like Bill Parcells scream, like stop practice and scream at the offense. Receivers, we don't care what you do, just be decisive. And it's like I was a ball boy up in high school. I went to college. I played for Tom Coughlin and guys like that. Played a long time in the NFL. And that's like the thing I can always hang my hat on with wide receiver quarterback relationships. Be decisive. I don't even care if you run the wrong route. Like, honestly. Right. Like, it never really bothered me. Like, if you have an out route and you ran a slant route, like, as long as it was obvious to me in a decisive way that you ran a slant route, like, I was good with it. And, Nate, you were really, really decisive. You know, maybe coming into the NFL as you did, not a first-round pick, you sort of had no choice but to run really good routes. There's a lot of guys out there that have a good 40 time, and they don't run great routes. And, you know, coaches kind of left that slack. But, Nate, you were really decisive, ran good routes, and you were the king of, I would say this, the king of asking for a double move. Like, Nate loves to say, hey, hit him with the out and up. Hey, hit him with the slant and go. Hey, hit him with the hitch and go. Like, that was Nate. But, hey, it's okay. I appreciated you hustling, man. Like, I appreciated you trying to, you know, hit him deep.
Yes, definitely.
It's funny you mentioned that decisiveness because that's something in camp and in watching Ryan Tannehill communicate with the receivers all the way down to the guys who aren't here anymore. He said, look, I need you to be more demonstrative. I need you to be more decisive. When you watch Ryan Tannehill and how he is with the football, do you feel like decisiveness is something that's a big-time attribute of his?
I really like Ryan Tannehill. I was really happy for him last year because I've always kind of scratched my head a little bit. Like, why did this not work in Miami? Like, why didn't it work? I mean, to put my money where my mouth is on liking him, he's actually my fantasy quarterback in the ESPN War Room League. So I'm going up against like Matthew Berry and Adam Schefter and all these experts, and I'm riding with Tannehill. But like I think probably the thing that I've seen him improve on is like he's such a smart guy. Like when you hang out with him, you talk to him, you say to yourself like, man, this guy could be a doctor or a lawyer or something. But there's something that Peyton Manning, guys like that have, where they're doing so much at the line of scrimmage and thinking very quickly and being very demonstrative and they're talking a lot. I don't see that in Ryan Tannehill's personality. I don't think that's a strength of his. I think a strength of his is he's a little bit of a throwback quarterback in my mind. Like, hey, let's just call these three plays. Okay, it's going to be a hard play action this way. It's going to be an empty drop back game this way. Like, keeping it simple, but just being very, very clear and focused about what we're doing offensively. And I think Adam Gase's offense, it's just like a lot going on. I don't think I would have enjoyed it either. Like, I think Peyton Manning enjoyed it, and that's about it. But I think Ryan Tannehill and Arthur Smith, I think it's like a really nice fit that they have. And I think his personality, he's probably a little bit more of an introvert than most quarterbacks. But I think it works, and I believe in him, and I think he's going to have another good year this year.
You're spot on with your assessment of the Arthur Smith and Tannehill relationship. Last year, Tannehill said that Coach Art is one of the most open and most willing to work with the quarterback coaches he's ever been with. So that tells you right there. One of the things that they do so well, I mean, we're talking about 70% completion percentage going up to 79%, is play action. As a quarterback, why is it that play action, like, can you put your finger on what makes Tannehill so much more effective as a play action passer?
Well, like, not every quarterback loves play action. It's like, you hear people say all the time, like, oh, well, good hard play action fake helps the quarterback. Yeah, sometimes. I remember we went to one of those offenses when I was in Seattle, and Warren Moon, who covers our team there, he's one of the announcers of the games. I'd see him in the parking lot. We'd park next to each other, and Warren Moon would say, hey, when this new staff came in with the hard play action game, your back's turned to the defense. He said, listen, you need to really work on this. I went from run and shoot to an offense where we had the hard play action, and it took me a while to adjust. And I thought, wow, okay, I'd never thought of that, but you're Warren Moon, so I'm going to listen. And I found it to be true. Like, my whole time, my early time in my years in Seattle, I'm using my eyes, I'm dropping back, I'm moving safeties and moving linebackers, and now all of a sudden, I got my back to the defense, all of a sudden, a seven-step drop, and then I turn my head around and like, wait a sec, where'd everybody go? It feels very different. Not all quarterbacks are a great fit for that system. But I do think that Ryan Tannehill is a really good fit for this system. So I think personality-wise, Arthur Smith and Tannehill are really a good fit. But I just also think the skill set that Tannehill possesses, the play-action game is something he definitely thrives in. And you can't say that for every quarterback. There's some guys that are great at the two-minute drill, but in my mind, are really painfully mediocre in that seven-step drop hard play-action game.
I totally agree with you there, Matt. I was going to actually allude to your ability. Actually, my first time able to lay eyes on you was in the Super Bowl as a rookie on the Pittsburgh Steelers team watching you work, man. And, your ability to go from a spread-style offense into playing with some of the most elite backs in the league and still benefiting off of the play-action pass with Sean Alexander and obviously coming to us and having Chris Johnson. How do you feel that, that helped you advance and clear your routes up on the outside with your receivers? Is there a specific type of receiver that you look for in those moments, obviously off of the play-action and trying to mask all of it together?
Yeah, well, just a side note on that. I thought I was coming to Tennessee. Mike Munchak sold me on this, like, power running game. You're 35 years old. We're going to have CJ2K in the backfield. And then all of a sudden, Chris Johnson's holding out, and we're in shotgun every single play. But, you know, it didn't work out that way. But, you know what, I think it all has to marry together. Like, your running game has to marry to your play-action game. Your formations and personnel group have to marry. Like, there's 100 different ways you can do it. But my favorite thing, and I think one of the things that I loved, particularly the Titans and even Jacksonville in this matchup, I see people doing for wide receivers, it's so much easier for a wide receiver, in my mind, to get open if you line him up on the right side of the formation. And then he runs all the way over to the left side and catches the ball somewhere outside the numbers on the left side. I don't care if it's shallow or if it's deep or whatever. And the same thing, if you line up on the left side, you run all the way over to the right side, it's easier to get open. It's almost like the DBs are like, that doesn't really count. Like, you ran all the way over there. I'm not going to chase you all the way over there. Because I see a lot of these people, just get so just a lack of creativity. They ask their wide receivers, correct, hey, run up 15 yards and stop, or run up 15 yards and keep going. And that's all they got. Like, run a curler and out. That's all you got. But the teams that get creative and let their receivers and tight ends even just run all the way across the field, I always felt like that was the thing that I thought was the easiest. As an NFL quarterback, I always felt like when that play call came into my helmet, through the headset, I would just smile and be like, oh, okay, as long as we can block for it, this is going to work.
That's great. We're here talking with Matt Hasselbeck, former NFL QB. One more question for you from me, my guy. Man, one of the things that I loved about you was your personality. Your personality, not only on the field, but in the locker room, away from the field, it's just your personality in itself, man. You were always a good guy, sense of humor. I want to give the fans a little key into what type of guy you are and about your whole handicap room epidemic going on that you had dealing with when you came to us. I don't know why, but it just went on with you with the handicap room that they wanted to give you in the hotel room.
I found out. That's a discount room. Like, you can get a discount on that room. So... I don't know, like, this is kind of how it went down. I've never told this story, but since you brought it up, like, on an NFL team, you go on the road, or even if it's a home game, you're at the hotel, and there's police officers on the floor of the hotel. They pretend like it's so that, nobody comes up to our floor, but it's really so none of us sneak out. But anyway, like, you take the whole floor. Well, like, not every room's the same. Some rooms are king beds, some rooms are two doubles or whatever. And there's always like a handicap room, which is obviously important. It's great. But for some reason, I would always get it. And when you're 6'4", the shower is never tall enough. So I could never stand up tall in the shower. And I just thought, like, wow, like, someone's playing a prank on me or something like that. But I found out later that someone thought that they were giving me, like, a better room because it was, like, actually more square footage. But Nate and I had this joke, like, man, I haven't taken a shower where I could stand up in the shower the whole time. So here they are. They hear the Titans were thinking they were, like, doing me a favor because I was the 35-year-old veteran. And every time I would just complain to Nate about it, like, wow, this is
it was hilarious. I remember you moved on to Indianapolis the next year, and I got a text from you that they had gave you the room as well.
Well, that was for different reasons. I was not the starting quarterback, and they gave Andrew Luck the suite. They gave him the nice room, and I got the different room.
I see the way that works, definitely.
Hey, but I will say, Nate, like, I came down to this. I came down to the Tennessee Titans. I had never been to Nashville before. It was right after the NFL lockout, and I walked into that locker room like a new kid on the first day of school, and got thrown into some Steve Watterson, CrossFit-type workouts in that weight room. It was such an awesome atmosphere in that locker room of players and coaches, and just really like a family atmosphere. And being in Nashville, like, the city of Nashville was so incredible. We were 10 years in Seattle and 3 years in Green Bay and 3 years in Indianapolis and only 2 years in Nashville. And if you ask any one of my kids, Nashville was just such an incredible experience. And it feels like we were here for 20 years. So and the players and really everybody in the city had a lot to do with it. That was a lot of fun.
And Matt,
that's awesome, man.
Before we get you out of here, because we're short on time, I wanted to just real quick get your take on Gardner Minshew and what do you think of him? Is he the guy for the Jaguars going forward after this season? What do you make of what he did? Obviously, it's one game, but what's your opinion?
Yeah, it's one game, but his rating, you know, it goes Lamar, Jackson, Russell Wilson, then Gardner Minshew, and after that, it's like Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. I mean, Minshew mania is a real thing, especially for a Jacksonville team that has a hard time selling tickets, has a hard time selling sponsorship and suites and all that stuff, getting on TV. I think Minshew mania is kind of a perfect fit for them, and he played outstanding. He outplayed Phillip Rivers last week. Who thought that was going to happen? You know, he's a pretty good runner. I'd say this is a dangerous team. I expect the Titans to win this division this year, but I think Jacksonville with Minshew is kind of this, like, spoiler-type team. I don't see them making the playoffs, but I see them beating playoff teams this year. What Jay Gruden and Gardner Minshew are doing, you know, they got rid of some very high-profile players, but look out. I think Minshew mania is he's a lot better than people think. He's fundamentally sound, and he's excellent at ball placement on deeper balls. So, I would say look out. I think he's a darn good player.
There you have it. That's coming from someone who's done it himself. So, Matt, we appreciate you coming on. Definitely wish you the best. Look forward to checking you out on ESPN some more this year. I want to see another one of those nice sport coats, man.
I don't have a big one coming this week, but the week after, get ready. Sunday NFL countdown, okay? It's a little outside my comfort zone, guys. A little outside my comfort zone.
It's all
man,
good.
Man,
you do
I
it
appreciate
well.
You, man. Thank you very much, man. We appreciate you. And it's always been a pleasure, man. From the day I met you, man, you've always been one of my top guys. You've always been a good guy to be around. So I definitely appreciate you. And good luck on the future.
Yeah, anytime, guys. Great to be with you. See ya.
All right, we'll be right back to wrap this thing up.